Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. We'll say this, if you notice, there's some not here, like Derek and his family and those that have went down. He's Wabash this morning, and we'll have several of our gentlemen that'll be helping fill in for preaching at Wabash Church of Christ and different places as well in the future here. And so when they're not here, they're not skipping out. They're somewhere else helping the Lord's work. So I just want to point that out as well. We are being Romans chapter 8 this morning, and of course, we need to understand and remember that when these letters or these epistles were penned or written out and distributed, they were there were no chapters and verses and things like that in there. And so it was one big long letter. And so to give you a little bit of an insight and a reminder in case some of us may forget, in Romans chapter 7 is probably one of the chapters in the Bible that I think everybody understands. And if you happen to forget what that's about, it's the time when Paul says, you know, I want to do this. I have my heart set to do good things. And yet, sometimes life gets in the way and I don't do what I want to do. Or I try so hard not to do these bad things, and guess what I do? The things I don't want to do. And I think we all can realize and understand how that works because we're human. If you're here this morning and you're human, raise your hand. Okay, there you go. Good. All right? And so as we look at that, we have struggles. So many people say, I've heard it said, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because we all have good intentions, but yet we don't always carry them out. Well, that's what Paul's saying in our spiritual life. That's what Romans chapter 7 is all about. And so then when we get to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, this verse kind of, I think it's something that Christians today struggle with, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. So let's read Romans chapter 1. Or Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, where it says, therefore there is now, I gave you already the therefore, okay, because of the chapter 7. Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay. And so what I want for us to understand, I want for us to think about just for a moment, what I was thinking about doing was having everybody close your eyes. But I don't want you drifting off to sleep, so I won't ask you to do that. But I was going to have everybody, you know, close your eyes, and I want to ask you, do you honestly, truly, wholeheartedly believe this verse? Amen, right? But I do feel, and it doesn't take long to have a little conversation with each and every one of you to find out if we really do believe this or not. Because, kind of what Josh shared at the communion time, our life and perception of one another would change if we really believe this passage of Scripture. Wouldn't it? Because all of a sudden, some of the backbiting, some of the slandering, some of the gossiping, some of the things we talk about people and say about other people, we wouldn't say why. Because there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So do you believe that to be true in your own life? See, I think that's where the struggle begins. We have a hard time accepting that in someone else's life because we know we're the Romans chapter 7 of our own life. We know what we ought to do. And we know where we fail. We know what we should stay away from, and then what we do. And then for us to come upon Romans chapter 8 and say that there is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ, do we believe it? It's kind of a hard thing, a hard pill to swallow. Something for us to consider. Do we believe it? And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at this and hopefully notice some things that will help us in our walk. Because I believe so many times as Christians, we know what we ought to do. And we then, because we know what we should be doing, we let Satan get us down when we don't do what we should be doing, when we know what's right. And Satan, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He wants to destroy our confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a difference between no condemnation and condemnable thoughts or actions. And this is what I want for us to understand as we get going into this. There is a difference between no condemnation and condemnable actions. Because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us and how he died for us on the cross at Calvary, conquered the grave, then we submit to him in obedience, becoming a Christian, clothing ourselves in Christ, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. However, each and every one of us still do things that others or even the Lord could look at and condemn what we do. So what we're trying to say is, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive no condemnation. And we'll get into this as well, but when God the Father looks down at us and we have done what the Savior has asked us to do, he doesn't see the lies or misleading. He doesn't see the anger. He doesn't see the hatred. He doesn't see those things that we get involved with that are condemnable. He sees us as holy and righteous, and we'll look at that here in a moment as well. But he looks at us as if we are his perfect son. And that's where it starts to mess with our mind. All right, because there are some things about God, and somebody had said this recently, I don't even remember if it was today or when, but there are some things about God that we just, you know, have a hard time figuring out. Why is that? Well, he's God and we're not. However, he's sharing these things with us, and what he is reminding us, and really what this verse is meant to do, I believe, the Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 verse, is really for us as a Christian, is one of those times that, so whether it's baseball or basketball or what, the coach looks at you and says, just go get them. Just play. Do whatever you want. Just go out there and give it all you got. And whether you mess up, whether you fail, whether you do something stupid, it doesn't matter. Because you're out there and you're just doing it. And sometimes in our life, in our Christian life, we don't just go out there and do, well, I mean, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody. That's why these are easy sermons to write. Okay? But it's easy for me to say, you know, I should have said something to that person. Boy, I could have talked to them at this time. And I've really been trying to be more conscious of that, taking opportunities of that, and I hope that, you do too. But as we look at that, and so we look at this, and those are the things from Romans 7 that I say, you know what, I know I could do better at that. And so I try, but I still fail. But even though I fail, there's still no condemnation coming down from the Father. Now, he may not like that I didn't take that opportunity, but he doesn't, and this is where I don't want to say, because there's a phrase that's used, and I think it gets used out of context, that we are to hate the sin and love the sinner, right? And there's truth to that, but we also see in Proverbs, remember there's six things that are an abomination, or six things that God hates and seven are abomination, and those are things that are people. Those that cause division among God's people, for example, that's not an action, though that's a person. And so those are things that God says are an abomination. And so we got to be careful when we say that there's the, you know, we hate the sin but love the sinner, because what ultimately we have to go back to is, are they in Christ? And so this is one of those messages that if you're here today and you're a Christian, it's a whole different perspective for you than if you're not. That's one of those accounts of safety verses in the Bible here that we're to draw strength from. To know that, as we've used before the illustration of the hula hoop, I did good today, I prayed, I talked to somebody about Jesus, I'm in Christ, I'm saved, and then tomorrow, you know, you have a bad thought about somebody, and you're a little disgruntled, and you're frustrated, and so now I'm outside the hula hoop, I'm no longer saved. That's not the way Christianity works. We have no condemnation if we are in Christ Jesus. Now, as I said, that's an account of safety. It's an exciting verse for us. But again, just as we read earlier in Romans chapter 6, we can't abuse this. Okay? And so, we are reckoned then through the blood of Jesus Christ as blameless. We've seen that word blameless, maybe beyond reproach in scriptures. We see that in even as far as qualifications for elders. They are blameless, that they're beyond reproach. We see people in scriptures that are listed as being blameless. Does that mean they didn't sin? No. That just means that once they'd found out about that sin, they did what was required of them for that dispensation to make sure that they are right with God. And those that are in Christ have no condemnation. And so how do we get into Christ? Two scriptures tell us specifically how we get into Christ. Both of them say we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6. And Galatians 3, you are immersed into Christ. Therefore, if we are in Christ, we have no more condemnation. Those three verses that were on the screen there, as we look, those are going to be verses we're going to be looking at as a reminder to us today that this is reckoned to us as that we are blameless. So the first thing we want to consider here, And this is the fact of the matter when it comes to the Romans chapter 7. And because if you take this text that we're going to look at here in Jude in just a moment, if you take that and this is why you have to always take a text and put it into its context. If not, you can get messed up real quick. But here's just the first thing I want to throw out to us on this idea or this thought of that there's no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. You know why that is? I believe because Jesus tries harder than we do. Okay? And so what I mean by that is, so what did Jesus not do to bring us salvation? What was he not, what did the Father say, this has to happen? And Jesus was like, nah. But yet we do that, right? As some of the things that I'd already shared, whether maybe it's sharing the gospel with somebody or straightening up things in our own life, we're just like, oh, I'm going to try, but I'm only human. You know, and so what we're trying to do is give ourselves an excuse. The fact of the matter is, I think Jesus tries harder than we do. Why is that? I always like this. This is what Cy always said. Jesus came from heaven where the Father is. He's already seen what it all looks like, and he wanted to go back there. And if we just get a glimpse of heaven and the Lord's tried to do that to us in a few different scriptures, then we just do whatever it took to get there, if we were honest with ourselves. But we get the Romans chapter 7, we get the distraction of this life. And even though we try and we think about it, our intentions are good, we sometimes still struggle. So anyway, this Jude passage, I've got Jude chapter 1, and yes, I know, there's only one chapter, so it's just Jude 20. So it's when you, okay. Jude 1, 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Now, if you would just take that verse in its own self, it would look like we could pray for Jesus to intervene in our life and we would never sin again, right? Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, some translations will say, or falling. Wouldn't that be great? And the fact of the matter is, we could if we tried as hard as Jesus did, but we don't. Why? I don't know. Chalk it up to us being human. I'm not God. Well, we're selfish is what it boils down to. Jesus wasn't. We are. And so that leads us back to a problem. But now, to keep you from stumbling, what we have to do is we have to go back and look. What was the book of Jude all about? False teaching. So in other words, the Lord is saying through Jude, now to the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, Jesus is the Word. We are in Christ. It is in him that we have no condemnation, if we would stay in that. But he goes through and he gives a list of Old Testament people that some did good and some faltered. And it was the ones who did not pay attention to the teaching. It's they gave in to false doctrine. It's that it's the new thing coming along, and they want to be involved in that, and it sounds good. And when the fact of the matter is, just follow the Word of God. So I'll just say, we may say, oh, I really tried. I'm trying hard. But we're not trying as hard as Jesus did. Well, I've had people say, well, he had help. And that same help is afforded to us. But it boils down to, we do what we want to do. Now, once again, what we do sometimes, and this is where we as Christians, I think we need to be careful. We become the judge of others so many times, and we say, well, they did, and so we condemn what they're doing, but along with that, we give a jab. I've done it. I've been there. We condemn the person then as well. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't point out somebody's wrong. But remember, if they're a Christian, they're just as saved as I am. Right? And so maybe we would learn to deal with that more lovingly than harshly. Not saying it doesn't need to be dealt with. Condemn what needs to be condemned. And it's not the people that are in Christ. Secondly, then, redemption only available in the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption is only available in the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, have I shared in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Peter says this, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Okay, so just want to first point out, so if you address as Father, so how does God, the Father, become our Father? We are adopted. His adoption process is one that takes us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges, see, there we go. That's where he's God and we're not. He impartially judges. According to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time you stay on earth. Something about that verse just really popped out to me this past week as I was looking at it. So one thing is, so we're reminded that it's not our works that save us, right? Sometimes we get accused of that. But I will say this, those that claim to hold on to faith alone or faith only, they need to read a passage of Scripture like this. So I'm not saying it's our works that have saved us. Our faith and obedience, our trust and our obey, gets us into the Father through the adoption process that the Son has given us. And then it says, we will be judged, those that call him Father, we will be judged according to our works. You can't become a Christian and say, well, God, Jesus and I, we got it all worked out so I can do whatever I want. No, your works. And it says, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. And so, to apply this to the Romans 8, I get to do anything I want because there's no condemnation. To me, that's not what we're talking about. Because this passage says, live in fear during your time on earth. And this is what we would call a respectable fear during our time on earth. Knowing that you were not redeemed, there we go, with perishable things like silver and gold. See, isn't it funny, though, that many of the denominations that believe in faith alone then believe that it's about your money and your financial giving that saves you, you know, your penance and things of that nature? Just interesting that it references that it's not a matter of the silver or the gold from the futile way of your that you inherited from your forefathers, but the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That is what redeems us. Where do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ? Where do we get into him? Our time of immersion into him. And so when we come up out of that watery grave, there is no condemnation to us. For those of us that may have struggled and had a bad day yesterday, said something we shouldn't have, there is no condemnation to you. We can condemn what you said and what you thought, but to you, God the Father looks down and sees the blood of Jesus. Oh my goodness. This is if this isn't a pep rally for us as the church, as a reminder to give us that freedom to get a little crazy, go talk to somebody about Jesus. Right? To live that life without a measure that I got to worry that no, it's because we're in Christ that there is no condemnation to us. That we live in such a way that we make the rest of the world wonder, what is so peculiar about that dude? Why does that lady act that way? It's because of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to hold us back. He came to set us free. Turn us loose into a world for him. And so as we look at this, it's redemption only available. Only available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Which then leads us to our last point of being reconciled through Christ's death. Same thing as what we've been talking about, but just looking at it from another letter that Paul had wrote in Colossians. And so as we look at this, this whole idea of reconciliation is a banking term. Anybody still has a checkbook? It used to be called reconciling your checkbook, making sure it balanced, making sure that it was, you weren't in the negative, things of that nature. Well, this is kind of what this does for us. There's a scale laid out, right? And we've got the blood of Christ on one side, and we've got lies, stealing. We've got coveting issues. You know yourself as well as I do. Put what you need to put on that scale. And we keep waiting for it to tip. We're in Romans 7 and we keep waiting for it to tip and be like, oh no, see, there you go. You've lost it. But we look at the scale and the blood of Jesus Christ has balanced all those things out. Now, as I said, and don't overlook, don't forget Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be. May it never be. However, we have that freedom that when the Lord God the Father looks down upon us, he sees his glorious Son. And he sees us as children of his. May be disappointed. Right? Parents, we get that. And I'm sure the kids feel the same way about mom and dad too, that we may be disappointed in a decision or something that they do. But at the end of the day, guess what? I still love them. And that's where that passage of scripture that says that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the problem with that passage of scripture is I think many people look at it the way I used to understand it. It's not talking about salvation there. It's talking about love. And so when we look at that, can salvation separate us from God? Does salvation separate us from God? If we disobey, we're not obedient, we've been separated. Does God still love us? His love's still there, but his salvation is not. And so when it says, when it looks at that and it says that what can separate the from the love of God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we live the worst life we could possibly live and still spend and all eternity in hell, God still loves you. But knowing how much God loves you, don't we want to do what he wants for us to do so that we can spend all eternity with him? Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. That's you. That's me. That's everybody. That's the church at Colossae. We were alienated, but we're brought close, Peter tells us, by the blood of Jesus. We were alienated. We're hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds. Yet he has now reconciled you in fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And so as we look at that, this is that verse that I think ties things in for us, that it's not a once saved, always saved, do what you want to do thing. He's telling us again, as we looked in that other passage, in I believe it was the Peter passage, that told us your conduct, your works, your life, fear the days of that you're on this earth. Now it is telling us, as the Lord God the Father looks down upon us, Jesus wants to make it so that we are holy, that we are blameless, that we are beyond reproach, and we can be if we are continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away. Once again, Scripture tells us that no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. Amen? There's some security there. However, we can just walk away. No one can make us do anything we don't want to do. And if we choose to walk away, if we choose to go our own way, if we choose to leave him aside, then we have become responsible for our own separation again, taken away. And then we have to ask ourselves, if we have denied Christ, then are we in Christ? And if we're not in Christ, then condemnation is able to come our way. But for you that are in Christ, there is now no condemnation for those that are in him. Amen? And that's our excitement. That's our pep rally. That's our let's go get them charge. You know what? The Lord has given us. You know, I may go out and never bring anyone to Christ, but I'm going to try because it's their choice. Why? Because I want for them to feel the same thing I feel. No condemnation. I may do things that are condemnable, things I should be ashamed of and stay away from. But because of that blood of Jesus Christ, let it all fall off the wayside. And really, it gives us a burden-free life. It's almost as if the Scripture says that he wants to walk with us and carry our burdens. That if I come along, your yoke will be easy. Your burden will be light to those that find safety and security in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, I just pray urgently with you, for you, to let today be your day of salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess of your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. Have your sins washed away so that you arise to walk in that newness of life. And you live faithfully for him the best you can each and every day. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning? And wouldn't it be great if today was the day that you began to receive no condemnation from Jesus Christ?